all our visitors, and those who made it this evening. We're very thankful for your presence. This evening, I will be talking about fathers. It is a subject that I know a little bit about. I wish I knew more about it. As a father, I made a lot of mistakes. And tonight, I'm going to be talking to fathers, those who are in this building. And it is something that's very important. I'm not going to be talking to the mothers or anybody else for that matter, just totally focusing on fathers. But because of that, it's going to be a short lesson. One of my daughters is very hungry, so she said, keep it short on this evening. I want to expand a little bit on fathers and what our roles are, what the way we should behave, the things we should be doing, and all that. I'm a little bit concerned because we see fathers and the way the world treats them and the way they're portrayed on TV and everything. Just forget about all that mess. Forget about all that TV and the way they are. We're going to be talking about what the Scripture teaches and the way we should be. there is some things that young men, we have a lot of young men in this congregation, so what I want you to do is just listen very carefully, because one day you will grow up to be a father, a husband, and some of the things that we're going to be talking about here is things that, if you're in my high school class back there, you've probably heard 1,000 times. And I'm going to continue preaching on this, and I'm hoping that your fathers will also continue to say this to you. For the young women out there, if you're looking for a man to marry in the future, look at the Scripture. The Scriptures tell you what to look for in a man. There he is. I ran across this little quote. It wasn't a quote, but this lady who did a study on the role of a father in the family. I'm going to read it to you, and that's about all I'm going to read about secular stuff, because there's a lot of stuff out there. Regardless, there's no disagreement that the majority, and perhaps the large majority, of inmates grew up in a fatherless home. It is difficult to get an up-to-date data, since the Bureau of Justice doesn't reliably track the family background of inmates. They also put intact the stepfamilies and the two-parent category, though at least one study has been found later to be predictive of juvenile incarceration. Another 1994 study of Wisconsin juveniles was even more stark. Only 13% grew up with married parents. Here's a conclusion of Cynthia Harper and Sarah McMillan. Researchers about single parenthood, controlling all for income and other factors, youths in father-absent families had a significantly higher odds of incarceration than those of mother-father families. We see that over and over and over studies where their father's not around, then the boys, the kids, tend to get more in trouble. We know that. That's hands down data that we already knew. The Bible teaches us the way things ought to be. Everybody turn to the book of Jeremiah.
There's a verse
that we use quite a bit. It says, "Now gird up your loins and arise, and speak to them all that which I command you. Do not be dismayed before them, or I will dismay you before them." Again, he is talking to some men here, and he's talking about girding up your loins. So let me explain to you what girding up loins was. It's basically they had a long tunic, and they would take this tunic, and since it was long and flowing, and right before war, They were told, gird up your loins. They would pick it up, pull it over, and then wrap it around with a big knot. And this would allow them to run and fight and get ready for battle. And God is telling them, gird up your loins. And he's referring to the men. Nowadays, we use the expression, man up. And it is, in other words, you get ready to do the things a man should do. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 127. Psalms 127, verse 1. One through five. Unless the Lord builds up the house, the labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise early, to retire late, to eat bread of painful labors. And he gives to his beloved even his sleep. Behold, the children are a gift of the Lord. Fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies at the gate. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. And if you ask, what is this quiver and what are these arrows? The arrows are the kids, very simply put. They are gifts from God. So let me go back to verse 3. The fruit of the womb is a reward. So let me explain to you something they probably didn't teach you in biology or anatomy, and that is conception is a miracle. Whenever conception occurs, God places a spirit in there. There is nothing in physics that allows for this, by the way. But God puts a spirit inside that baby. He animates that baby. It's not a piece of flesh. It's not something to be cut up and sold. It is something that is very precious. And you as a father have been given the responsibility to take care of this. It is something that it is very blessed and something very, that is very holy. As a father, you are responsible for this. This spirit belongs to God. You've been handed this spirit. You've been handed this child. So as a father, you know that whenever a body dies, the spirit returns back to God from where it came from. It is a very simple. So we're going to start a lesson with that premise. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on earth. So my question to you is, and I have a few questions, where is our focus? Is it work? Is it money? Is it projects? Is it home? Is it travel? It is easy to get distracted. There are hidden costs for the things that we not account for. My father for many years traveled for work. I can assure you that his many years of travel took toll on the family. We spend so much time at work. When we are not at work, are we still at work? We need to keep our priorities straight. It is God, it is family, and it is work, and everything else. If we keep these things in priority, keep things straight, we'll be doing okay. The problem occurs is whenever we get those things out of sequence, where things start getting out of control. As I talk about this, let me throw in a commercial. There is a need for teachers here in this church. We're always looking for teachers, obviously, for all the classes in the back. We've been blessed with a lot of kids. We really have. And it's great to have them. But we also need teachers. Here's your opportunity to be not only if you're a father, but to also become a teacher. You'll like it. You'll enjoy it. I'm sure you will. There is I knew of a gospel preacher in, you know, talking about setting our priorities straight. I knew of a gospel preacher who he would study on Saturdays. When he would do so, the family, the kids, were not allowed to do anything else, just stay home. And for many years, they resented him. He felt that it was important to study on Saturdays so he could be prepared on for Sundays. There is a balance. There's a balance that as fathers, we need to evaluate between the family and our responsibilities. I cannot tell you how to arrange your life. But I can give you a little hint. There is, right next to you, your wife. Your wife will tell you the truth. Well, your wife will set you straight real quick if you just listen to her, and she'll help you with these priorities. There's a lot you can learn from your brutally honest but loving wife if you just listen to her. Proverbs 20. Everybody turn to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. Many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man? So this is something that us men like to do, us fathers like to do, and that is brag. We brag about ourselves, we brag about our generosity, our hospitality, our faithfulness. We sound like a trumpet. And yes, people listen to our bragging. Our kids listen to us. If we get annoyed with what they're saying and how they're saying it, have you ever had your kids say something or do something and it really annoys you? Look, fathers, look in the mirror. Because it's probably following our example. If they cuss, if they lose their temper, if they brag, they like to brag around about everything they do and say and have, look at ourselves. We need to start looking at ourselves very closely. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, before I had kids, I considered this an absolute. Now I have kids, and I don't know what this means. It is something that I get the gist of it, but I can tell you something that I do know for sure. I can tell you that kids, your fathers that are sitting here in this congregation, that had brought you to church, that taught you things, try to impress these things in your head, that you're never going to forget them. God forbid if you ever decide to leave the church, to leave God, you go off to college, then you think you're too smart for God, and then you leave the church completely. I can assure you something. This book will never leave your head. It will be inside you for the rest of your life. And you can become an atheist, and you're going to wrestle with this for the rest of your life. And you can be the most worldliest person, but this will stay inside you. And fathers, this is your time to do so, to impress this, to teach this. While your kids are small, impress this on them. Stamp it in their hearts. Because so when they get older, they will remember these things. They will remember your example. The arrows that we talked about earlier, they're the kids. They come rough. We sand them. They come with our physical defects or maybe our physical strengths. Their spirit is moldable. It is. It's like clay. We've been given one chance for this. And this chance comes very quickly. It comes and goes. So this is your chance to do something about it. To help them out spiritually. Physically, there's not much you can do about it. But spiritually, there is a lot. Mold them the right way. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. So, I have a question. Who's responsible for instructing my kids? The church? The school? The state? The government? Yeah. We know the answer. We all of us Christians know. All of us fathers know the answer to this question. It is me. It is you, all the men that are sitting in this congregation. You have been given the commandment to do these things. Do not provoke your children unto anger. It is by far the most important work that you will do. It is something that we will always, always have to do. There is something that as a father, you will have to learn to do. There's a lot of things that you can do to provoke them to anger. Believe me, I know. And believe me, all the kids like to use this verse to use it against us fathers. But that's okay. I can tell you how not to provoke them into anger. It's very simple. Just spend time with them. You know, growing up, I never owned, this is the truth, I never owned a fishing rod. Never did go fishing until I had kids. They wanted to fish. So now I have a bunch of fishing rods. And we fish. Probably not as much as we want to, but we do. And I'll tell you a little secret too. When I was growing up, I thought band was for sissies. And now I have a bunch of very musically talented kids. They're in band. I love watching them play. When I was growing up, I watched band play never. It is not something that, as a father, I didn't say, oh, I'm going to grow up and I want to go watch bands and all that stuff. No, I didn't. But I do now. I never played sports growing up in high school or middle school for that matter. But guess what? Most of my kids, boys, played some sort of a sport. And loved watching them. Get involved. Fathers, you only have them for a few years, trust me. And then they're gone. Instead of going to work on a Saturday, go watch him play. He's not going to kill you. You'll be okay. You'll like it. It's fun. They're pretty good. I cannot impress enough on you to get involved with your kids. Listen to their music. Music. You know, growing up, I had real music. Poor kids nowadays, you know, whatever. But listen to them. Get involved in the bands they like to listen to. It's not going to kill you. Listen to One Direction. If you don't know who that is, you're fine, believe me. You'll be fine. But if you have kids, you can talk to them about it. That's part of being a father. It really is. My advice to you, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. I like this verse. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit at your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. So my question to you is, when do you talk to your kids about God, about church, about sin, about all this religious stuff? When? I'm going to tell you, any chance you get. Because remember what I told you? You only have so much time to teach your kids. Before you know it, they're 18, they're 20, they're 25. Yeah, that's pretty much your time of influence has passed up. After that, you give advice. Before, you can tell them what to do. And after that, it's just advice. Hebrews 10:25. This verse. Not forsaking our own assembling, together as it is a habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We all know this verse. How is our example? Do we habitually use work as an excuse to miss worship? Listen, bring them to class. Bring them to worship. Sing. Your kids see you when you're singing or when you're not singing. Pray. Your kids look at you. For all of you parents that were here, did you ever see your parents praying? That's an incredible example. They can't see you pray. They can't see you worship if you don't bring them to church. It was many years ago. I was teaching one of the classes, this is back when we were at Woodlawn, and I noticed that this family wasn't bringing their kids. It was very spotty, their attendance. So I knew him. I knew him very well. So I brought him, pulled him over to the side, and I said, hey, you really should bring your kids. I know you're busy and everything and doing other stuff. And so bring your kids. I'd love to teach them. They're great kids. And became angry. He got very mad at me. He pretty much told me off. He did. Listen, bring your kids. We got a lot of good classes back there. A lot of good teachers. They prepare so that to teach you. Teach your kids. Fathers, you're responsible for this. You got this. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Proverbs 16, 18. Pride goes before destruction, and the haughty spirit before stumbling. Oh, stumbling. Pride. Listen, we men tend to be prideful, proud, arrogant, like a rooster in a hen house. Unfortunately, pride keeps us from making sometimes the right decision. It becomes a source of contention with our wives. We are to humble ourselves, as Cody read. This vicious pride keeps us from forgiving others. It has been a stumbling block for many churches where brethren, men, proud men, have split the church for non-doctrinal reasons. You see it all the time. It's like two bulls in a ring with so much arrogant pride that they can't see straight. As men, we tend to do that. It is the pride that hinders our listening abilities with our wives. Your wife might tell you the way you treated a waiter. The way you treated him was too mean. That you were unfair to your kids. Listen. It's these brutally honest wives that will tell you when your pride gets a little bit overboard. You need to put down some of that pride and do the right thing as a father. Get the emotional content, get the pride content out of your decision making, because this is what is expected of you. 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 to 3. Now, chapter 3, what did I say? It doesn't matter. Chapter 3, 1 through 3. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. Young ladies, avoid such men as these. We can spend so much time on this. But we don't have that much time. My daughter's hungry. Let's talk about affairs. Yeah, let's talk about affairs. Men, fathers, sometimes you get this little fantasy idea and it's floating up in your head about having an affair. About cheating on your wife. Let me tell you something. Do it. Go for it. Go for it, and then you can destroy that trust. That little sweet little thing, bride, that you have on your side. So you can destroy the trust she has in you. The confidence. Do it. So that your kids, for the rest of your life, will be telling you that they are sorry for what? That you are sorry for what you did, for the mess you made. Do it so that you can bring disgrace to the church. Do it so you can alienate your friends, alienate your relatives. Go ahead. Or, you can take that little idea, that little fantasy, that little midlife crisis of yours, and men, let me speak to you the way something you would understand. Take a little machete and just cut it up and get rid of it. Load up your shotgun and blow it away. That little idea, that little affair is not supposed to be in your head. Don't even let it sit there for a moment. I don't care if you've been married with your wife for 7 years, 21 years, or 30 years. I don't care if she's gotten a little chubby. Guess what? You have too. You've gotten chunkier. She's got a little bit of wrinkles. Guess what? Yeah, you too. It gives you no excuse to do something like that. Fathers, is this what you want? Is this the example you want to leave behind? Think about it. I want you to think about it very, very carefully before you do something like that. You have no idea what you're doing. Men, the guy that's standing over a tank of gas, and he's smoking. That's what you're doing. You're about to start, you're about to initiate a chain reaction that cannot be stopped. Nothing good comes out of it. I have never, in my 50 years here on earth, talked to a man, and believe me, there's plenty of men who have done this. And they have said, boy, I'm so glad I did this. All I can hear is a lot of regret. A lot of, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I've destroyed a lot of things. Everything I've worked for. My kids. And if that doesn't convince you, and if you're still toying around with the idea, call me. Let's talk. I'll set you straight very quickly. Fathers, get that out of your head. Just get it out of your head. That sweet little thing that's next to you, that's been sitting there with you for 20 years, for 30 years, for 40 years, 50 years, it's a good thing. You really do. You have a good thing. Don't let it go. Don't toy around with it. Don't play around with it. Unloving. Fathers, can we be unloving? Yes. Can we be uncaring? Yes. Cold, yes. You see this on TV, on the internet, where you see people being racist and everything. And let me say something else. So the church is looking for deacons. We've been talking about a lot about this. And for several classes, the boys and I, we talked about becoming a deacon. I told them, y'all should aspire to become deacons. And one day, you can be an elder. And we listed all the qualifications, all the qualifications. There's a lot of qualifications for deacons and qualifications for elders. And guess what? Not one of them included that you had to be black or white or Hispanic. None of them. We are blessed to have good men serving that are qualified, that have nothing to do with their skin color. In this church, we have everything under the sun. And praise God for that. And you as a father, what you teach your kids, if you are that shallow that you teach your kids that that person over there should not be treated with respect just because of the way they look from the outside. Scripture's never taught us that. As a father, you teach your kids to look at the inner person. You teach your daughter to look at the inner person. That young man, look a little bit further, a little bit deeper. That's what we teach our kids. It's something beautiful. When our kids can look beyond a person, the outside, and judge them from the inside. 1 Peter 1:6. Second Peter 1:6. And to your knowledge, self-control and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and your godliness, brotherly kindness, and your brotherly kindness, love. We all understand all those things that we have to add as a father, as a Christian. Self-control. We were talking about this verse back in the high school class, and somebody stuck their hand up and said, does this include eating? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Self-control. I love food, people. I do. Food loves me. But I have to control myself. There's a lot of things on this earth that I like and I love, and food is one of them. And I have to control myself. As a father, I have to control myself in the way I speak, in my temper, my attitude, and my eating. Fathers, control yourselves. It's a very simple verse. It's hard. Yes, it is. Believe me, I know. Last verse, Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Chapter 5, verse 28. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. Verse 25. Husband, love your wives. Verse 33. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife. Let me ask you a question. Do you guys get the impression that maybe within these two verses, somebody's going to try and tell us something? Fathers, what do you think? Three times we were suggested or commanded. We were commanded to love our wives. This is not a choice. This is not a suggestion. It is something that we are told to do so. Put that in your head and get that little fantasy out of your head about that little affair and start learning to love your wife. And there's some men say, oh, I don't know if I can do this. Let me tell you something. Get over it. Man up and love your wife. It is something that you're going to have to work for the rest of your life. It's not something that's just a given. The example that you're leaving your daughter about loving your wife is very important. So that one day she grows up, she's going to expect that from her husband. And equally, he is going to expect something from her. It is a commandment. I don't care if she is growing a second nose. You love her. It's not a choice in the matter. Fathers, there's a lot of stuff that I said to you. You need to be the best you can be. And I know there's a balance. And you'll find it. And one day you're going to look back and you're not going to regret. You're not going to feel bad for all the things that you did. Unless you sinned. This lesson was not meant for those who have not obeyed the gospel. If you're a Christian and you've fallen short, you haven't been doing the right things, you know what you need to do. There's always a chance to get back at things. God gives us a second chance. If you do want that chance, come up to the front and ask for forgiveness. Please stand as we sing this song of invitation.